Tonight, the subject of my message is Satan and the spider. Satan and the spider. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 5 and 6. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hand. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God to tell us what's happening and what takes place and why. And that's what it's all about. To know you better, we need to know the word of God. To love you, we need to know the word of God. So help us tonight as we preach the word of God, that you would speak to hearts everywhere, including this pastor, and I'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Have you ever taken the time to notice the description that this word of God gives to various animals and birds and, yes, even the insect? Many Old Testament writers used them for graphic illustrations as well as spiritual truths. And so tonight, I want to do something a little bit different. I want to use an insect, the spider, to expose the cruel purpose of Satan, the archenemy of our soul. The foolish spider, and I might add so-called, takes great pains to create his web. But a light breeze of single breath of air can blow it away. And so also is the sinner whose God is the world. Overnight, he can lose the riches of this world. The deadly deception of Satan, like the spider, is no joke, believe me. And the devil is no laughing matter. And today, believe me, some of you could testify to that, literally. He's alive, he's well, and we're thriving on our ignorance of him. King Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 28, "The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces." Now, the interpretation of that verse is rather simple. Satan's devices and the spider's web cover the places of the kings and queens, the nobles and the castles, as well as the poor man and his cottage. You see, I found out long time ago, as most of you have, sin is no respecter of persons. You find it among the rich or the poor, the educated or the uneducated alike. No one is spared. Today, many people feel secure in themselves because of the fullness and the firmness of their outward prosperity. But remember what this word of God has to say. The palace of self-confidence is no more secure than that of a frail web. Yes, men cling to their possessions as they would to their own lives. But remember, God can remove such earthly possessions as easily as a housewife is able to sweep cobwebs away with a broom. Now, I've taken the liberty this evening to examine more closely and do a little research on the spider. Did you know that the relationship of the spider and Satan are amazingly exact? And to know the spider and its workings is to know Satan and his work. And it's common knowledge that the spider is one of the most clever insect in God's creation. Everything in connection with the weaving of spider webs and security of the victim bears the imprint of wisdom, of order, and art. And the prophet Ezekiel says, "The spider is full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." What a description we have of Satan. There's no animal or insect so subtle, so skillful, and patient as a spider. The spider has as many as 8 legs and 8 eyes, and has as many as 4,000 tiny holes in its body, and it's a perfect machine. And in the lower part of its body, the spider has 6 spinning machines, which work at top speed when the web is to be formed. And in each of these machines are smaller machines called spinnerets, of which a spider has more than 4,000. Each one of these spinnerets give off a slender thread, which in turn blends the others together in a single cord. And when that cord comes out of the body of the spider, upon contact with air, it immediately hardens. Scientists tell us that a spider can produce over 4,000 yards of fine, fragile thread without a break. Now, let's take a look at the work and the purpose of the spider. The common spider first awaits its opportunity to build. And believe me, it studies very carefully the wind and uses it to carry its thread to a bush. And then it begins to form its web. And all of the principal threads he weaves are coated with a sticky fluid, provided, of course, by our Creator. So that at first contact, a fly or any other insect is trapped immediately, unable to move, unable to help itself, hopelessly trapped in a spider's web. But that spider is clever enough to have a thread for his own private use, over which he can rush out to seize its victim. And believe me, the thread it uses has no sticky fluid on it. Now let me illustrate to you this evening how a spider works on his victims. Let's say a large moth becomes trapped in a snare. He struggles and struggles, but he's hopelessly ensnared by the sticky web, and he will soon die if a miracle doesn't happen. Now for the spider, his feast is ready. He gets on his safety line and proceeds to where the victim is. First, he sucks the blood out of the victim, thereby ending its life. One moment a victim is alive and healthy, the next is dead, trapped in the white lie of a lovely-looking web. Now, Can you detect the satanic method that is being used here? Satan also entices the unsuspecting victim into his lair. He binds them with silken cord of earthly pleasures, and they become so engrossed that the soul is gradually rendered helpless. And then Satan sucks out the blood of his victim and sends their soul to hell. Now, are you aware of the fact that Satan does not want you to know he is your master, and he is, whether you want to receive it or not? And he deceived you and I into thinking we are free, when in truth, we become his slave. Now, many people think the word devil is just another name for evil and wickedness. And yes, this is one of his deceptions. But this Bible, God's word, teaches us that Satan is real. Now, if you're one that questions the reality of the devil, then he has you right where he wants you. He has lulled you to sleep, and you're ripe for the pickings. Now, Satan has many beautiful and deceptive devices to trap the multitudes. And they are seemingly helpless devices, but each one are very deadly. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, as a warning, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he will devour. Then secondly, the spider, like the devil, is cruel and he is heartless. Spiders, I don't have to tell you ladies especially, are ugly things. They are little monsters of cruelty with talons, jaws, and poison used for destruction and their slaughterhouse of destruction. Now keep in mind, remember, all of their skills, their wisdom and tact, are used for one purpose, the purpose of death, the same as Satan. And their main reason to exist is to deceive. Satan is the counterpart of the spider. He's clever, and he makes sure he keeps himself always out of the limelight. And his traps are so beautiful, designed so wonderful, they often go undetectable without anyone knowing where they are. And remember this about him as well. Satan knows no defeat. And he's the greatest quick change artist that ever lived or ever was. And Satan, like a spider, uses all these skills and power to ensnare the soul of mankind. And like the spider, Satan's sole purpose in the world of mankind is to bring death. And I'm talking about eternal death. Did you know that every year the spider changes dress. That's right. He changes his bait every year. You see, once a year, he casts aside his outer garment, and behold, he now looks like a brand new spider. But he's not. He's not. He's just the same. He hasn't changed. His goals and aims never change. Why? Because that's his mission in life, to deceive and to overcome his victims. Did you know that the devil has the ability to change and does so in order to deceive his victims? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Let me illustrate a little bit on that, help you understand it better. In nature, there's a certain kind of snake that can first put its victim to sleep and then eat them at his leisure. Notice now, the devil is called that old serpent which deceiveth the whole world. And he does it easily by putting us to sleep. That's the way he works. He is called the god of this world. He's the Antichrist, the man of sin. He's the son of perdition. He, my friends, is the world's greatest deceiver. And in ourselves, not one person here, or any that I know of, is any match for him whatsoever. And he portrays a religious man, but in reality, he's a master deceiver. And if only we could tear away the mask of what we call innocent pleasure and disclose the cruel monster of hell, who sends thousands of his victims into eternal damnation by his deceitfulness. You know, a spider always spins its web in the right place. Always. First, he always looks for an inconspicuous place, a place where the web he knows will go untouched and unnoticed. Then he puts it where his targets will pass by. And that's where he builds his traps and devours his victims. Now let me ask each of you a personal question. Have you read your newspaper today, say? I ask you another question. Has America been caught in Satan's trap? Are we being deceived and devoured? I will have to say I'm afraid we are. Why? Because this nation has departed, for the most part, from the safety of God's holy word. So today, many homes are in shambles, victims of deceit, Satan's deceit and his treachery. And many churches are struggling to stand true to his holy word because liberals, emissaries of Satan, have deceived multitudes. Today, the whole world seems to be trapped and doomed by the transforming deception power of that person called Satan. And when I think of the spider's web, I cannot help but think of one man, the man Jonah. Everything was going fine for Jonah. Then one day God said, Jonah, I have a task for you to carry out. And that's when Jonah began to run in the opposite direction. And he ran right into the path of Satan's snare. And from that moment on, Jonah's middle name was Trouble. He ended up in the belly of a large fish. And that same Jonah cried out of the belly of hell. You see, Jonah was trapped in the devil's web. Now, how did it happen, you say? Simply this. Jonah had closed his eyes and stopped up his ears to God's will for his life. That's what happens when you stop up your ears and eyes to God's will. From that time on, if you read the history of Jonah, you'll find his every movement was down, down, down. He went down to Joppa to flee from the Lord. He went down into the sides of the ship and finally down into the belly of hell, right into the devil's snare. And ever since Adam and Eve took Satan's bait and were deceived, man has not stopped running from God. It seems that every day, many are confronted with Satan's obstacles and are defeated, frustrated, and yes, overcome. And yet, despite all of that, millions refuse to turn to the only one that can deliver them, the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know the perseverance of the spider is remarkable? Failure never daunts it for a moment. A spider will start over immediately, weaving a new web. Satan also never stops stalking his prey. He never tires of his diabolical work. He will take no rest as long as the victims that he has, that he can overcome. Let me tell you something about Satan. Satan will never, never stop until God places him into the bottomless pit of hell. This world of humanity is his victims. His job is to destroy souls and send them to hell. That's his job. And he does his very best every day to do that. Let me illustrate this a little bit. The story is told of a large, beautiful golden eagle that swooped down from the heavens above and voluntarily entered the skillfully woven web of the spider in order to destroy the web as well as the spider. And that spider tried hard to trap the eagle, but failed. The spider and the web were destroyed forever. Because on an old rugged cross at Calvary, hell's web was torn to shreds and the devil's power was broken. And now defeated, imprisoned human flies, struggling for liberty, can now call upon Jesus Christ, God's eagle, to set them free. Because he has destroyed Satan's power and his web of lies. Next, we must recognize Satan is a being of great power and great authority. And as a prince of this world, he is a person, and he is the author of all lies. The Christian and the world too often underestimate the devil. But we cannot laugh him off. We cannot ignore him. No way. And believe me, the big fight is on in our hearts as well as in the world. Satan is a strong personality that we cannot fight him alone. We all need the help of heaven in our combat against Satan. Some years ago, America was in a great conflict with Germany and Japan during World War II, of which I was a part of. But that was nothing in comparison to the age-old battle between the souls of men and this mighty and evil being whom we know as Satan. All the crime, the murders, the sorrow, the troubles of this world are but a great conflict between the forces of evil, Satan, and the forces of good, God Almighty. Is there anyone anywhere today who can honestly deny that today Satan is the prince and power of this world? We can never, never have permanent peace in this world because he rules in the hearts of world rulers. For example, why was a little girl in Chicago kidnapped and her little body hacked to pieces? Or why does a drunken father kill his own little child? Why does a son kill his own parents in order to get their insurance? Why does a young lady or man bring disgrace to their family? Who allows a father to bring his little family to poverty and distress? Believe me, Satan is the bottom of all of it. He's the culprit. Why, he even comes to church and enters into the hearts of church members. He causes them to do and say things that only the devil would think of. Why do people sin today? The answer is simple. Because they belong to Satan. It's just that simple. They have his nature and his flesh. Oh yes, some are saved, but they still retain that old sinful nature. But praise God, the day is coming, and personally I believe soon, that Jesus Christ will come again in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And when he does, we who belong to him, we change just like that. And that's when we will finally be rid of that old sinful nature. And Satan's defeat will at last be final. A friend, I'm going to give you some good information. There's only one way to get free from Satan's web. James chapter 4, verse 7 has the answer. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do you know what that means? It means if you are ever free, to ever free yourself from Satan's snare, it must be done by someone other than yourself. You see, you and I are helplessly trapped. We cannot free ourselves by ourselves from his grasp. And that's where my Lord comes in. You see, at Calvary, Jesus whipped the devil once and for all. So that now God says to you and I, trust me. Trust me and I will fight the battle for you. Let me be your Savior. Let me replace Satan in your life. Listen carefully now. Satan's greatest tool is summed up in two words: neglect or procrastination. How many souls do you believe are in hell today because they neglected so great a salvation? They wasted their opportunity to be saved. Don't be caught in a devil's trap. Believe me, those traps are very, very deadly. And Satan is ruthless, ambitious, cunning, and cruel. And his success is shown in war, in sickness, pain, sin, and death. And he asks no quarters and gives none. And deception is his middle name. And there's only one defense against him: the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Friend, believe me, there is no escape except through Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can deliver you from the devil's grasp. Only he can deliver you from Satan's web of death and destruction. And it makes no difference how steeped in sin you may be. The wonderful thing about it all, Jesus still loves you. He still loves you. In fact, he loves you enough to deliver you from Satan's hold on your life. All you have to do is let him do it. And for the child of God who is defeated by Satan's control in your life, God is always ready to give you the victory if you will confess your sin and get right with God. And to you that are unsaved, Jesus offers this opportunity to you to be rescued from Satan's destruction and become a child of the King. Tremendous. Don't neglect that opportunity, because it could be your last one. Don't fumble the ball on the 1 yard line. Don't let your pride keep you from getting saved. All he can do is make a decision for Christ. He's the one that we answer to. He's the one that loves us. He's the one who died for us. He's the one who rose again from the dead to prove everything he was and everything he said he was. My Lord loves you tonight. He wants to do for you what no man, no person can do: to take you into his bosom, love you, and in eternity give you home that lasts forever and forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all the promises found in your word, especially to we that you died for. You loved us so much, you willingly died for us a horrible death. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for my salvation. Thank you for what you've done for me. And I just praise your wonderful name tonight and ask you to speak to the heart of each one of us and cause us to renew our vows and yet let you know just how much we love you. I pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen.